with you today. I wish we could be together, but I'm thankful for this opportunity to share a few words from God's Word with you today. And listen, if this message blesses you in any way, would you share it with someone? I'm believing that there's someone out there that needs to hear this word today, and God just might use you as a conduit to share His good news with them. So I want to start with a story. In the Old Testament, there's a story of a city that's under siege. It's the nation of Judah, and they're trapped inside the walls of their city. Sound familiar? But instead of a virus forcing them into lockdown, it's the Assyrian army. And these guys are bad. They're destroying everyone in their path, and the nation of Judah is next. So in 2 Chronicles 32, things look bleak. All indicators point to their destruction, to their capture, and it's at this point where the people of the city start to get this overwhelming sense of like, wow, this is getting real. Like, the reality is setting in. Let me ask you this question. In regard to this crisis that we're in the midst of, when did it get real for you? Like, when did it set in that you're saying, well, okay, this is a little bit more than I thought it was. You know, this is getting real. Now, I have to admit, I'm a late bloomer when it comes to doomsday prepping for a national crisis. And for the first several weeks that this was in the news, I was thinking, no big deal. It's going to run its course, keep calm, and carry on. But I remember the first time that it started to register with me that this was a big deal, that it started to get real. It was when the NBA canceled the rest of their season, and I thought, okay, wow. And then baseball followed suit, and then all the sports dominoes began to fall. And for me, that was like an awakening, say, wow, okay, something's happening here. This is getting real. Yet still, if I were to be honest, like in the back of my mind, I was still in this wait and see mode. And it seemed like every day from that point, things got a little bit more real. But right, all of a sudden, states and cities are declaring curfew, flights are grounded, cruises back at port, a lockdown for 40 million Californians and other states to follow. Right here, our governor closes all non-essential business. Wow. And like, it's only been 1 week of social distancing, and I'm thinking, this is getting real. And all around, as you turn on the news, it seems like things just keep cascading into a larger and larger snowball, getting worse and worse. And here's the thing though, besides social distancing and sheltering in place, like there's very little that I can do about it. I'm helpless to do much else besides just stay isolated. So the nation of Judah was in a similar spot. Their enemy was pressing in, and they were stuck. They were isolated, and there was really nothing else that they could do. So what do you do when there's nothing else that you can do? So King Hezekiah pulls the people together, and he says to them, in a sense, don't give up. Don't give up, guys. We got this. God's got this. And they do all they can to prevent the enemy. So they divert water from the enemy. They build and repair their walls. They do all that they can. So in our case, we're home. We're social distancing. We're washing our hands. We're washing our hands again. We're sterilizing the countertop and then washing our hands again after we've just sterilized the countertop so we can wash our hands again. I mean, we're doing all that we can do. It doesn't feel like much. But in addition to that, in addition to fortifying the city, they made a choice. They chose to find their strength, their courage, and their provision from God. I love verse 7. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. No, for there is a greater power with us than with him. I love that last line. For there is a greater power with us than with him. The enemy's closing in. The situation is dire. For the people of Judah, it's getting real. Like the enemy's real. The fight is real. And Hezekiah just simply reminds them there is a greater power with us than with him. So let me hit pause on that story for just a moment. I'll come back to it at the end of this message, and I'll tell you, but I want to tell you how it relates to our current series. Besides being in lockdown, it has a direct tie to what we're studying as we have been looking at the Lord's Prayer. And this week's focus in the Lord's Prayer is one phrase in particular. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Bread for today. So Kim and I went to the grocery store just the other day, and you guessed it. We walked down the toilet paper aisle, and it was empty. It was a ghost town. And you know what other section was nearly bare? The bread aisle. Most sandwich bread was gone. There was a few packages of random rolls and a couple bagel packs just kind of scattered along a mostly empty shelf. And I stood there, and for the first time, I thought of this prayer. I mean, what a fitting time for us to study this sentence in the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, before I go much further into this message, I want us to pray the prayer together. I want to pray the Lord's Prayer together. I know it's a little weird. You're looking at a screen, and maybe you're, you know, sitting on the couch with your family, or maybe you're by yourself, or wherever you are. I want to invite you just to pray this prayer with great faith and with conviction and with a heart connected to God. Would you pray this with me? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Today's focus is on one sentence. Give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never had to truly pray that line before. I'm just being honest with you. Like, I've prayed that line before, but I've never really had to pray that line before. I've always had some type of daily bread available. And for most of us, if you're like me, it's not if I was going to eat during the day, it was what I was going to eat, or where I was going to eat it, or when I was going to eat it. But standing in that bread aisle, I whispered that sentence prayer. Like, it kind of got real for me. And so I grabbed a couple hard rolls, maybe a package of bagels, and I went about my day. Now listen, I have bread. I found some bread, daily bread. I'm thankful for that. I'm not in need of bread right now. But I will say that that sentence took on a different meaning when I stood in a grocery store with an empty bread aisle. Now, here's what you need to know. Jesus is teaching us, yes, about physical nourishment for the day, that he would provide for that. But he's teaching us about something that is that's more than just bread alone, more than just physical bread. For he said, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so this sentence prayer is about our daily bread, our nourishment, but it's also about more than bread. And it's about more than just me and my needs. Check this out. Did you notice this phrase? This prayer is not a me prayer, it's a we prayer. You might have, we've said it already a number of times in this message, but the passage there, the prayer says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Often when I think of the Lord's Prayer, I think of me praying it to God. It begins, even though it begins with our Father, I think of my Father in heaven. And I think of a very personal connection between me and God, my Father in heaven. And I put myself in the position of being his child. And that's a good thing. But then as I continue in the prayer, I think of myself in light of his holiness. Hallowed be your name. And when I get to the your kingdom come, your will be done, I'm thinking about my needs within God's kingdom. My participation with God's kingdom, my interaction and alignment with God's will. But it's not a prayer about me. It's a prayer for us. This next phrase, it reminds us that this is not a me prayer, it's a we prayer. Give us today our daily bread. So the first personal request in the Lord's Prayer, it's not for me, it's for us. So when I pray it, it's me inviting God's provision for you. And when you pray, it's you inviting God's provision for me. Give us this day our daily bread. In some ways, this is the perfect time to pray this prayer. So what we're all doing right now while we shelter in place is a bold expression of concern one for another. Look, chances are most of you aren't going to get sick. I mean, but we're limiting ourselves for the sake of others. So what you're doing is a beautiful example of a corporate concern for us. And so not only is this prayer for us, it's a corporate us as we pray, God, give us our daily bread. It's realized through us, and it can be realized in very simple ways. Let me give you an example. Our family this week made some brownies, put a little note in them, and stuck it in on a few of our neighbors' doors just to say, hey, listen, we're going to keep our social distance, but we're here to help. The note simply said, if you need anything, let us know. We can share a cup of sugar. We can do a grocery store run for you, and we can certainly offer prayer. In fact, I've heard of a couple storehouse households doing something similar. Way to go. It wasn't much, you know, but it was one way for us to say the Lord has provided for us, and we can be his provision of daily bread for someone else around us. So just like last week, we looked at Thy kingdom come, it comes in us and it goes through us, it's distributed through us. His daily bread is received in much the same way. It's received in us, but it's also distributed through us. It's in us and through us. Give us this day. So as God blesses you with encouragement, maybe you could bless others with encouragement. If he gives you hope, you could speak hope into others. If you find strength in your relationship with Jesus, you can share that with others. This is what it means to be a sent people. When we don't think about just us. And so maybe this week, you need to pick up the phone and call someone. Maybe shoot them a text message. Message them on social media. Reach out in some way and say, listen, I just want to be here for you. Maybe there's something that you need that I can offer. I love our church and the generosity, so I know that's already happening. Well, let me ask you on a personal note. Like, who do you know that needs a touch from God? Be that for them. It's an us prayer. And not only is it an us prayer, this is a prayer for today, right now. In fact, it's in there twice. Give us this day our daily bread. So it's like doubling up on the idea that this is for in the moment. This is for right now. So we're to ask for enough for today, for sustenance for today. So Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, give us bread that we need now, in this moment. And when tomorrow comes, then for tomorrow, we'll trust you with our tomorrow, but we're asking for today. Now, if you're like me, you would love to know what tomorrow will hold. Like, I would love to know what the rest of today will hold, and you just never know with how fast things are changing. But what I do know is I know the one that holds the future, so I'm not going to worry about the future. I'm going to trust him for today. So what do we need today? What do you need today? Well, bread, sure. But what we really need is the bread of life. What we truly need, beyond all the material needs, is the presence, the nourishment, the provision of Jesus. So this prayer is particularly powerful because Jesus, as the bread of life, he says to us, pray for the bread of life in your life. Look to me. So let me ask you a tough question. Is Jesus enough? So when we pray this prayer, we're saying, God, we rely upon you. We need you. We're coming to you in a place and a posture of being needy, saying, you are what we truly need. And when we receive from you, it is enough. And so we rely upon Jesus. Now, what we're seeing right now in our society is that the things that we normally rely on, it's in a state of shock, right? Everything is hospitals running at max capacity, stock market taking a beating, government just scrambling, grocery stores struggling to keep up, the delivery and distribution systems under great strain, small businesses closing. Everything is shaking all around us. And this prayer is reminding us, God, we come to you. We need you to show up in this moment. I love what Paul says to the church in Philippi. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we're reminding ourselves that Jesus is the true source of life. It's the call to be dependent upon him. And this is echoed all throughout Scripture. I think of the Israelites wandering in the desert, in the wilderness, eating only manna, the bread from heaven, and learning to lean on God for all of their physical needs. Deuteronomy 2:7 sums up that whole season for the people of Israel by saying, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing. Now we can say that. It's only been 4 days, not 40 years. Hopefully it's not 40 weeks or even 4 weeks, but we'll see. But even if it is, we can trust in God's provision. In him, we will lack nothing. I love Psalm 23, David's words, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Still, we struggle to trust God, don't we? So in our quest for financial security and full bellies, we have a tendency to trust in our own strength, our own provision, our own resources, and we have a tendency, if we're to be honest, to second guess God and his provision. So let me ask you, in the midst of this crisis, is God still providing? He is. Is he enough? He is. One of the secrets to thriving during this time is learning to be content in what the Lord has provided. I love the way Paul says it. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. What is he saying there? He says, I've learned the secret to being content, and the secret is found in the presence of Christ Jesus. In uncertainty, he says, I know the secret. I know what it means to be content in what the Lord has provided. When there's an unstable ground, I've learned what it means to be content in who God is. I know what it means to be content when things seem out of control, to find control in the one who is ultimately sovereign over all. So let me ask you right now, can you be content in your situation? You can. During this time, God is teaching you to trust in him. Maybe he's teaching you, probably so, to just slow down. Just slow down. Take a breath. Look to him. Rely upon his provision. He is the bread of life, after all. Allow this time to deepen your stand on the unshakable rock of Jesus Christ and of God's word. His promise, his presence are most pronounced during times of uncertainty and crisis. But we can find nourishment, we can find strength and we can find a firm foundation in him. Psalm 18 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. So you remember King Hezekiah? So he here he is locked in the city doing all that they can, and he starts interacting with the other king from Assyria, and they send these crazy text messages back and forth, and the enemy is laughing at them for their feeble attempts because they know that they're completely outmanned. So it doesn't look good for the nation of Judah. In fact, everything is going the wrong way. They're in a desperate place for God to provide for their needs. So they, what do? They ramp up their confidence in him, and then they do all, the only thing that left that they can do. They pray. They're saying, God, we've done our part. We've done all that we can, but we're desperate for you to do your part. In verse 20, it reads, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, cried out in prayer to heaven about this. And here's the amazing thing. In this miraculous turn of events, when all the odds were against them, God sends an angel and wins the battle. The angel of the Lord came and he defeats the fighting men and the commanders and the officers in the camp of the Assyrian king. So they withdrew to their own land in disgrace. Listen, we're going to win this battle, but not in our strength. Not in our provision. It is God who will provide. And this gets us to the heart of this sentence prayer. God, give us today our daily bread. God, you give it. You are it. And so we're trusting in you. Listen, God is trustworthy. He is faithful. He will meet all our needs according to his riches. Remember what Paul said? The same God who takes care of me will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. And so with great faith, we pray, give us today our daily bread. This is an us prayer. This is a trust prayer. And so I want to invite you to pray the Lord's Prayer with me again today. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hey, if you're listening to this message and you feel far from God, and or maybe you just want to experience the hope that a relationship with Jesus offers, I want to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. It's very simple. All you need to do is pray this from your heart, trusting in God. So you could pray these words or pray something similar in your own words. Just pray, Dear Jesus, I admit that I've gone my own way and I've done my own thing. I'm sorry. I repent. I ask for you to forgive me. I believe that you died on the cross and you rose again. You did what I could not do for myself. And so I come to you now and I ask you, take control of my life. I give it to you. Come into my life. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Now help me to live my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. We would love to connect with you at Storehouse. If you go to storehousechurch.com, there's a button there for prayer requests. Make a note that you decided to follow Jesus today or you recommitted your life to Christ today. We'd love to encourage you on your journey.